Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Remember when the fake news anchor was on TV and she was trying to lecture J.D. Vance? I think it was Martha Raddatz. She was trying to lecture J.D. Vance when he was talking about concerns over Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan illegal alien prison gang that was taking over entire apartment complexes down in Aurora, Colorado. And, oh, by the way, we now have confirmed arrests of Tren de Aragua members in Gallatin County, Montana. Six people arrested last week. As we briefly mentioned on Friday's show, confirming everything that we had been talking about all week long. But you remember Martha Raddatz when J.D. Vance was talking about the threat posed in Aurora, Colorado by these TDA members. And she says, oh, it's just a handful of apartment complexes. Just a handful of apartment complexes. Well, John Jackson, the Joker from X, who joins us every Tuesday on this show, he saw a highlight or a low light, shall we say, of CBS's 60 Minutes, which has seen such a downfall. I mean, the decline and the downfall of 60 Minutes is just another mass media failure. 60 Minutes shared this on X last night. They shared a highlight from Scott Pelley's latest report. USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID's spending in 2023 was $38 billion. 60 Minutes adds, less than 1% of the federal budget. Or as John Jackson summed it up, yeah, it was just a handful of billions, just a handful of billions of dollars of your dollars that we are finding so much fraud, waste, and abuse, of course, as the DOGE team is looking into the USAID spending. And then 60 Minutes does this big sob story piece with a woman who was fired from the U.S. Agency for International Development. They want you to think that, oh, she's just everyday Joe Schmo working for USAID. No, she was a top political staffer for the left-wing operative, the Democrat appointee, who was heading up the USAID. So here you go. Every day we've got to unfake the news. We've got to unfake the news. We've got to un-F the news on a Monday here for you. We couldn't even wait till John gets in on a Tuesday. We had to share that with you first thing. Speaking of spending, yeah, this is a crazy one. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is now slashing millions of dollars in contracts that were active under the Biden regime. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, I might add. Here is one of the projects that has now been cut. One of the ways your taxpayer dollars were being spent, a Brazilian forest and gender consultant and a Central American gender assessment consultant. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, according to Breitbart News, announced the cuts on Friday, saying that the department has terminated 78 contracts totaling more than $132 million. And she says another 1,000 contracts are also currently under review for potential termination. I mean, and this is the Department of Agriculture, for Pete's sake. All right, back right after this.
It's February 17th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is My Way Day. This is not about the mega hit from the legendary crooner Frank Sinatra. The day encourages you to do whatever, however you want, just make sure it's legal. In 1801, Thomas Jefferson is elected the third president of the United States and marks the first peaceful transfer of power from one political party to another in the United States. At the Winter Olympics in Nagano, Japan in 1998, U.S. women win the first Olympics gold medal for ice hockey, defeating Canada 3-1. Born on this day in 1991, singer, songwriter, Ed Sheeran. The 2014 single Think Out Loud earning him 2 Grammy Awards for Song of the Year and Best Pop Solo Performance. Reality star Paris Hilton born on this day in 1981. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Now, courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, looks like Lee in Kalispell was thinking of the very same topic I was thinking of here during the break there. I was scrolling through my show prep to say, hey, where is that tweet? I know I've got the audio here, but Secretary of State Marco Rubio was on one of the Sunday morning talk shows. Let me see. It's probably in the Trump War Room or in the Rapid Response 47. It could be buried in my stack of stuff here somewhere, but yeah. Here we go. Vice President J.D. Vance. This is a crazy exchange. Does the media really think that the Holocaust was caused by free speech? Here you have the anchor of, here we go again, CBS. What a train wreck CBS has become. You got 60 Minutes. Oh, it was just a handful of billions that were wasted at the USAID. Now the anchor on CBS's Face the Nation has the gall to suggest that somehow the Holocaust was caused because of free speech. Anyway, Lee and Kalispell on the phone lines here. Lee, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I was thinking about that, but also it ties in with something else I thought of. During the Soviet Union days, parents had to be real careful what they said around their kids, because the kids who could go to school, if they repeated it and the teacher heard about it, the kid's chance to be then turned into the government, where the parents were then taken out without a trial and killed, and the children became wards of the state.
That's exactly right. I was doing an interview with a guy. All right, apologize for that interruption there. Thanks for the call, Lee. So I was doing an interview with a guy who was from Central America, and he grew up in Central America back in the Reagan 1980s. Now, his family loves Reagan. They love America. They love freedom, right? But he talked about how when they lived under communism in this Central American country, and it was just like that, they had to be careful about what they talked about inside of their house, because if the kid went to school and said, well, my dad says blah, 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 you would get reported to the authorities, and they would round up your family members for doing just that. Here you go. Here is the exchange. This back and forth here, where you had former Florida Senator and now Secretary of State Marco Rubio was on CBS's Face the Nation. Let me play a lengthier version of this back and forth so that you can hear her actual question and then Secretary of State Rubio's response.
Well, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that, that the censorship
No, I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
Now, the backdrop of this, is, and by the way, great job by Marco Rubio. I know Marco Rubio has been pushing it back against a lot of this fake news, mainstream media BS, and interview after interview after interview. And it just seems like Rubio is doing an incredible job as Secretary of State thus far. But the backdrop of this is you had the Munich Security Conference. And you have, even still to this day, where authoritarian free speech censorship is taking place in what is supposed to be the Western world, in Europe. And we saw this on steroids during COVID-19, but COVID-19 really was their test run for their authoritarian measures, you know, censoring free speech. The same type of censorship that we saw here in America, the same type of censorship that we saw under Trudeau up in Canada. And yet these same people had the gall and go over to Europe and travel there and lecture people about freedom and about, you know, why we all needed to keep spending more money to finance a war in Ukraine that the leftists allowed to happen in the first place while they censored freedoms at home. And remember, we talked about this. We lost the moral clarity and what separated the West from the East. And that's what President Donald Trump is restoring right now. He is restoring that moral clarity in his entire team, Secretary of State Rubio, Vice President J.D. Vance. They are restoring the moral clarity. Not only that, but they are boosting European defense by telling the Europeans to step it up and be more responsible for their own defense as well. Not only through more funding, but through more troops at the same time. All right, coming up right after the break, we'll get to your legislative update from the Americans for Prosperity Montana. Look, it's 41 below, going to be close to 50 below zero with some of the wind chills across Montana today. Can you feel the cold coming through your windows? Well, you've got to upgrade to energy-efficient triple-pane windows, and you're going to save some money on your energy bills, and you won't feel all the cold air coming through your windows. YHIC, your home improvement company, they've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows, plus easy financing. No money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Call 406-948-2836. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows, and financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Call 406-948 or 2836 or go to YHIC.com for your home improvement company.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution to the wind in avoiding what they judged to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aims. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The biggest story in the media right now is the corruption case of New York Mayor Eric Adams, because it is tearing the Justice Department apart. The Trump DOJ ordered the charges dropped on relatively flimsy grounds. One, it would interfere with the mayor's effort to cooperate on immigration with the Trump administration. Two, he's running for re-election. You could say that about any public official. They acknowledged they didn't even look at the evidence. And seven prosecutors at this recording have now resigned, including the U.S. attorney in Manhattan, who calls this a corrupt deal, including another career prosecutor who said, find some coward to do this. It is the politicization of justice. Even many conservatives are saying that. And it's not over. The judge also has to weigh in. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What the kachuk happened in hockey over the weekend? Any of you got hockey fans out there, did you see the USA-Canada game on Saturday night? What the kachuk happened there? The gloves came off within seconds. There were several fights on the ice. It was a home game for the Canadians. But they got beat up in the fist fights, and then they got beat up in the hockey game. They lost to the USA 3-1. What the kachuk was happening there? We'll talk about that and much more here in just a few minutes. But first up, Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, is with us on the phone lines for a legislative update. He's at the Capitol working the hall every single day during the legislative session. Henry, first, before we get to the legislative update, I did a story on our Montana Talks website about the fiscal cliff and what the fiscal cliff could mean if we jump off the fiscal cliff here in Montana, and I know you're very well versed on that topic as well.
Well, it means a real a significant burden for individual taxpayers, small businesses, economic development, and continued growth in the state of Montana. We've got to get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 reauthorized. That led to explosive growth during Trump's first administration. It's due to sunset at the end of the year, and we've got to get that through. That lowered our corporate tax rates from being the highest in the industrialized world down to something that was much more reasonable. I think it was down to 22% or maybe even lower off the top of my head. But there's a lot to be done on that. We've got to get our budget under control. I got to whip curb spending. We got to get rid of inefficiencies. Things are moving forward very rapidly, and that's one of our top. It is our top federal priority for Americans for Prosperity. We've invested $20 million in support of Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act reauthorization, running ads in key states around the U.S. where we've got lukewarm senators who need to hear from their legislators. Fortunately, our delegation is solidly on board with its reauthorization and making the necessary budget cuts because we've met with them. That's our newly elected Senator Sheehy. Steve Gaines on Senate Finance is very well aware of it and has his committee lined up, scheduled out to do the work on time, and we got Troy Downey and Ryan Zeke on board. So our legislative team is on track. Of course, they love to hear from us. They need support. These people are under assault by big-time lobbyists of major corporations and those who want to continue to keep big government moving forward. So they need to hear from us.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to do locally. We're going to set up events with our people.
Yeah, and I saw nonstop local TV stations had a story how Senator Steve Daines, along with Wyoming's Senator John Barrasso and Idaho's Senator Mike Crapo, are all calling for permanent tax relief. Just make these Trump tax cuts permanent, which would be great if they accomplished that as well. But yeah, go to MontanaTalks.com. You can see the actual numbers, how much the average family of four would pay in increased taxes if we don't renew the Trump tax cuts this year. So great work by Henry and his team. Of course, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. All right, let's talk Helena. Let's talk the legislative session, the big school choice freedom discussion that we had last week. It sounds like it's coming to a head in the legislature.
It's an ongoing battle. On Friday, we cleared a major hurdle in House appropriations. Again, it was a one vote win. 12-1. Came down to the very last vote. Ken lost as they go in alphabetical order. And we won by one vote, getting it out of the committee back onto the House floor for third reading. Third reading is when you don't debate, you just vote on it. And now that vote won't happen today, guys, because I'm informed that Sheehy, Dinky, and Downing will be addressing joint session today. So it's going to happen most likely tomorrow, which gives us just another 2 working days to get our message heard to our legislators to tell them to vote yes on HB 320 and give parents the affordability and accessibility to send their kid to the school, to the type of education that best meets their needs to unlock their genius and potential and their talents so they can contribute to society as a whole. We need more competition in education. It will only improve public education. It's not a mortal threat to public education funding, which, by the way, Aaron, as you know, they get $2.4 billion for public K-12 education, half of that from the state, half of that from other sources, compared to the $10 million, actually $8 million, for this program for the next biennium. $8 million to be capped at 10. That is a pittance in comparison to what the public school system is getting. So all this fear mongering from the unions and those who represent them is nothing more than fear. There's nothing to worry about. They're only afraid if competition, if they can't stand up to the competition, or if their institution is threatened. This is all about the kids, not about the institution.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I was talking with Representative Jonathan Carlin, Democrat out of Missoula. He's the House Minority Whip. And we talked about this, you know, concept, big picture. And he's like, well, this is public money that would otherwise be going to the public schools. And I was like, actually, no, this is taxpayer money where they get to save their own. They're arguing that, well, if we didn't allow people to keep their own money here, that it would be going into taxpayer funds and into the schools anyway. And that, to me, that's a very big stretch here. And especially when, like, you look at Missoula, they have an international school, which is very popular. Yet, even in places like Missoula, where they have popular alternatives like that, they still go with kind of this anti-Christian school rhetoric fed by the MFPE and others.
Yeah, you're totally right on that. You know, as if that $2.4 billion is insufficient funds and it's being threatened by a maximum of $10 million, I think they need to take a look at how their budget is being properly leveraged. Now, this bill is not an assault on public school teachers. We love our teachers, and they should be compensated, you know, by the value they create and the role they play, the valued role they play in our communities. But this is all about giving parents choice. This is all about providing the kind of education that best meets the needs of the child. Not everybody can thrive in public schools. There are plenty of kids who fall through the cracks, and we want to have them, you know, fall on a safety net, and that is having alternatives. You know, find other ways to meet these kids' needs and to reach them so they too can thrive, because this one-size-fits-all system does not work for everybody.
A few minutes left here before we get to the break. And Henry, greatly appreciate your time joining us every Monday, which is always a busy day in the Montana Capitol. Housing bills, housing reform. Look, we still have high housing prices in Montana. We still need to build more housing. And oftentimes too many restrictions at the city level, at the town level, at the local level, just ends up creating more problems, pushing the urban sprawl out further and making it harder to get more housing online at the same time. Talk about some of the bills you guys are tracking right now.
That's very well stated there, Aaron. We got a couple of bills that are in local government. One was heard on Friday. That's SB 266. That's put out by Senator Jeremy Treves, Republican, libertarian-leaning Senator, that the whole issue really is one of supply and demand. We have a lot of people wanting to move here in Montana, and they have, and we have a limited supply of housing. So we need to increase the supply. And this bill would allow for triplexes and fourplexes to be built where it's currently zoned for single residential occupancy or duplexes. So it can, you know, when they're, of course, they got to get local permits and infrastructure has to be in place, but it would allow for more housing to be built, particularly in the cities, to avoid, as you say, urban sprawl and allow for those in the service industry to have a place they can call their own and, you know, pursue the American dream as they see fit and be able to live in a decent home, which is really a fundamental basic need of people in order for them to prosper. You know, shelter, warmth, clothing, and food. We're talking about shelter, and we need to increase the supply.
Well, and no offense to people that struggle with mental health issues, but it really seems like some of these cities have these schizophrenic, and these communities have these schizophrenic development policies where it's so hard to build in town because of city regulations and city codes that then they build out of town, and then they end up putting all these massive apartment complexes all in one spot instead of scattering it throughout and diversifying a little bit like we see in the West End of Billings right now, for example. What was the other bill? Sorry, I interrupted you there.
No problem at all. It's related to it. It's SB 243. That's from Senator Ellie Boltman. This is a bipartisan issue, and Senator Boltman is a Democrat from Missoula. And she has a bill to allow for the increase of apartment buildings up to six stories and relaxing some of the heavy parking requirements for these mixed-use buildings. So that's also a good bill that we are supporting. That was also heard in Senate local government just last week. We expect executive action sometime soon, and our organization will be putting out action alerts through our offices throughout the state of Montana and through other partner groups. So you can, your listeners can weigh in on these very important issues. Again, always on any bill.
Yeah, you've got individual AFP Montana offices all across the state. If people want to get engaged, get involved and actively work on these issues in the legislature or on the federal level as well. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Greatly appreciate your time for this weekly legislative update. Back right after this, open phones and more.
This is House Call for Health. February is Low Vision Awareness Month. There are millions in the U.S. with a visual impairment. The National Eye Institute says that makes it hard to do everyday activities like reading, cooking, or even just getting around. And for many, it can't be fixed with glasses, contacts, or other treatments like surgeries or medicine. The Glaucoma Research Foundation says by the year 2030, the last of the baby boomers generation will turn 65. And the number of Americans who have visual impairments is expected to reach more than 7 million. Vision rehabilitation specialists can help some by training to use magnifying and adaptive devices, learning new daily living skills to stay safe and independent, developing strategies to navigate around the home and in public, and providing other resources and support. But experts agree it's important to get your eyes checked annually to catch potential vision problems early. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What the kachuk happened at the USA-Canada hockey game over the weekend? The gloves came off in the opening seconds of the game. Well, we'll get to that story here in a second. Plus, what about EV school buses, electric vehicle school buses? I put in a RFI, a request for information, with the superintendent of public instruction's office because I saw this report about how actually it was on the 5 on Friday. They had Kennedy as one of the commentators on there, and she was talking about how apparently, speaking of Canada, there was a Canadian EV school bus manufacturer that was supposed to deliver all these electric vehicle school buses to all these schools all across America, and they never did. They never delivered. And apparently they went belly up, and these schools never got their electric vehicle school buses. So I'm wondering, are there any Montana schools that didn't get the EV school buses they thought they were going to get. I know Haver got theirs a while back, so Haver's got them. Haver has it. But are there any Montana schools? That was kind of the question I had. I will get to that story here in a second as well. But first, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, what's going on?
You were talking about housing and stuff with Henry Kriegel, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I got something to say about this housing. You take a house that's 1,000 square foot here in Bozeman, Montana, with the basement and the permits and everything, and you're looking at over $300 a square foot to build it. Then, on top of that, after it's built and people's moved in and everything, then they got a power bill, they got a gas bill, and garbage.
And property taxes.
By the time you add it all up, it's about $1,700 or more a month. Now, how many people that are starting out in life that have a car that they're paying for, maybe, and their insurance and everything, can afford at 5%? That's all figured at 5%, and you can't borrow money at 5. It'll cost you 7 or better, depending on your credit. Now, what I'm saying, it's impossible for young folks right here in Bozeman, Montana, and even the older folks like myself. I'm 90 years old, as you know.
Yeah.
And I'm watching these young folks try to buy this stuff, and I got friends in the banks that I've talked to, and they have to loan the money out at 7 and 8%. And some of them are more than that, depending on their credit.
When just a few years ago, I could buy my house at about half that interest rate, right?
Yeah. It's impossible here in Bozeman, Montana, for a young couple to buy a house, and with if they got any no bills or anything, then they might be able to. But they're looking at least $1,700 a month. Plus, you're going at the end of the year, or twice a year, you're going to have to pay a tax bill on that thing, probably of about $1,700 or $1,800.
Yeah, that's right, and that's why we've got to start tackling this issue, and we've got to really, you know, implement more of these America First policies and get some of these far left judges out of the way, so we can get access to, you know, timber here in Montana and have more local timber jobs, reinvigorate our industrial base to help the tax base as well. There's a whole bunch of things that need to be done in addition to some housing reforms. Clint, appreciate the phone call. Great to hear from you as always. Always appreciate your insight. Tom in Bozeman, we'll get to you in just a second. But first, before I forget about this story, what the kachuk happened with the U.S. and Canada over the weekend? Here you go. Tensions ran high during the Four Nations face-off ice hockey tournament between the U.S. and Canada on Saturday night.
Team USA meeting their top rival in hostile territory last night meant tensions were at an all-time high right from the jump. Just 2 seconds in, the gloves were off.
Dropped the gloves right away. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel. Right off the hop.
Team USA star Matthew Tkachuk and Team Canada's Brandon Hagel coming to blows moments after a face-off. But then Matthew's brother, Brady Tkachuk, wanted in on the action, going toe-to-toe with Canada's Sam Bennett just 1 second after play restarted. But that wasn't all. Only 6 seconds later, a third brawl unfolded just 9 seconds into this Four Nations face-off tournament game.
And now you know what the Tkachuk happened between the U.S. and Canada. The Canadians got their butts kicked, literally and figuratively. They got their butts kicked on the ice in the fist fights, and then they lost the hockey game 3-1. I thought hockey's supposed to be their game. But anyway, the folks in Montreal, I sure hope our friends in Alberta and Saskatchewan would never do this, but those Eastern liberal Canadians in Montreal booed during the U.S. national anthem. Now, here's another interesting backstory here. And this was from SportsCenter. In 1996, Keith Tkachuk dropped the gloves with Claude Lemieux 20 seconds into the game between the USA and Canada. 29 years later, his two sons, Matthew and Brady, dropped the gloves in USA-Canada 3 seconds into the game. Like father, like sons. That's kind of a cool backstory there. All right, let's see. Speaking of Canada, I think this is a Canadian company, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we've been talking about all this wasteful USAID spending, sex changes in Guatemala, the USDA spending money on a, what was the word that we used here? Oh, yeah, a Brazilian forest gender consultant. I don't know what kind of Brazilian job they're doing, but it's supposed to be the Department of Agriculture. And so anyway, I mean, that's what they're wasting your money on. And that's what DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, led by Elon Musk, is rooting out. Now, Kennedy was on The Five on Friday, and she made a great point. Look, they have been polling swing voters. Swing voters overwhelmingly back what Elon Musk and DOGE are doing right now. Something like 7 out of 10 of swing voters. And by swing voters, what they're doing is they're talking to people that voted for Biden in 2020, apparently, and Trump in 2024. And they're asking them, well, what do you think? Do you have buyer's remorse? And they say, absolutely not. We love what Trump is doing. We love what Elon Musk is doing. Because, of course, wasteful spending needs to be put to a halt. And then Kennedy added this.
And it was actually a very interesting polling group because it was people who had voted for Biden in 2020 who then switched their votes to Trump in 2024 because Bidenomics, as was the case for most people in the country, it didn't work out for them. So it didn't work out for them because their taxes are too high, eggs are too expensive, people still are having a hard time making mortgage payments and paying the rent and affording college and everything else. So now they're realizing where that hard-earned tax money is actually going. And the more we hear about $160 million going to a Canadian electric school bus factory that has now declared bankruptcy and never made good on their promise to deliver school buses, 100 million of them, to 55 school districts in the country, like that's where my money has gone. They actually want more of it because the feeling is if you cut out entire departments and if you shed sunlight on all of this waste and abuse, then maybe taxes will finally come down. Then maybe federal expenditures will come down. And I'm shocked the Democrats haven't gotten on board with this.
$160 million they shipped of your money to Canada to provide EV school buses that were never provided. Oh, but the Eastern liberal Canadians want to boo our anthem? Let's go to Tom in Bozeman next on the phone lines. Tom, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron. You know, along the lines of what we're discussing right now, you know, what's going on with DOGE is they've really shed light on what the mafia used to call the skim, the way they took money out of casinos in Las Vegas. What goes on is Democrat congressmen, you know, there's some 1,000 or 2,000 page bill, and they'll throw in something, and congressmen don't have time to look through this stuff, and they approve everything. And there's a pork barrel project or $20 million, $20 billion set aside for some bogus NGO organization. The money finds its way to that organization. The top dogs in the organization get paid. They kick back money to the Democratic Party, and then they send money to the senator, kickbacks to the senator, who put the provision for their payment, you know, originally in the bill. I mean, you wonder how guys like Tester, I mean, they serve 18 years in Congress, and they come out multi-millionaires. You know how, when you're making $200,000 a year living in Washington, D.C., it's all of these kickbacks.
You know, if my dad was here, Tom, if my dad was here right now, because he's the singer, I'm not, he'd perform at the Big Fork Summer Theater back in the day, I would have him sing The Circle of Life from the Lion King movie, because what you just described is the circle of life, the all-out money laundering with our taxpayer funds that the Democrats have been doing. Here, hold that thought. Tom and Bozeman, I want to come back to you after this, if you can stick around. Stand by, we'll talk more about this money laundering operation.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If Democrats, if this is their strategy, they want to double down on fighting against deporting known terrorists, murderers, known murderers, rapists, known cartel members, gang members, those that didn't respect our laws, borders, and sovereignty, and they want to make the case that they should stay, let them do it. If now that they've been exposed for hundreds of billions in reckless, woke, Green New Deal, trans-supporting, DEI-supporting, abortion-supporting, taxpayer dollars going to every country but our country, let them fight on that hill, because they have doubled down on dumb, stupid, and a absolute tragedy.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day, maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Securing America.
As the first month of President Trump's new term comes to an end, the focus on removing illegal immigrants has registered some significant numbers, with arrests of illegals up 137% compared to a year ago, with over 12,000 taken into custody between January 20th and February 8th. Border czar Tom Homan commented while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, saying border crossings are down 90%.
Less people are dying crossing the border. Less Americans are dying from fentanyl overdoses. Less women and children being sex trafficked across that border. Less terrorists are getting in.
But he says the work is actually just beginning.
At last count, we had over 600,000 illegal aliens with criminal convictions walking the streets of this country.
Homan expressed continued frustration at sanctuary cities that are still not granting ICE agents access to those scheduled to be deported. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So we were talking about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and all of the, you know, the billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse that they've been finding, that they've been rooting out, that they've been bringing to a halt. And look at the protests from the Never Trumpers. Look at the protests from the Democrats. Let me warn you for a second. If you're driving, just maybe pull over for a second or just brace yourself. I don't want to cause any car wrecks out there. But as Jesse Waters shared on Friday night, the protests are continuing. The anti-Doge choir is back.
I will lift you up when they push you down. I will raise my voice and stand my ground. Well, it looks like it might.
The Democrats' anti-Doge choir is back with a fresh new track that's almost as painful as Greg's bumping music. Those liberal lunatics capping off another week of anti-Elon rallies, raging against the waste management wizards.
All right, that was a great segment there by Jesse Waters. Tom in Bozeman, did you throw your phone across the room, or are you still with us?
I'm going to break into song any minute now. Well, you know, Bob Menendez, he got thrown into prison for this because they found him red-handed with gold bars in his house. But I think the strongest defense he had was, gee, we all do this. Why are you picking on me? You know, all of those Democrats, we're all corrupt. I mean, this is the fix. This has been going on for years and years and years. There was one NGO who got like $8 billion. Some like the DEI, Environmental Green New Dealers or something, some crazy group. And Musk was looking into it. in the day that he announced and he started looking into it, like they scrubbed their website. I mean, so when Fox News people went to check on it, I mean, everything was down. It no longer existed. They were trying to find out some names or who are the people. These are all fandom, bogus shell companies that are just set up to provide kickbacks to government officials, Democrat government officials. The money never goes to anybody. It's a joke. You know, no one ever benefits from these things. It's just pure,
they're using our money against us, and then they're funneling it back to their buddies and themselves. I mean, they're promoting anti-American interests all over the world. They're actually undermining. And yet the Democrats have the gall to claim that somehow Doge is a threat to national security. I don't know if you saw that, Tom. Tom, thanks for the call, and thanks for sticking around. But, yeah, FoxNews.com had this story over the weekend. Democrats torched over Doge security claims after allowing a wide-open border and empowering Iran. And, in fact, the quote that was front and center on the Fox News Facebook page yesterday morning was a quote from Montana's newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy. He said this, "Being lectured by the Democrats on national security is pretty rich after they spent the last 4 years sending billions of taxpayer dollars to terrorists, letting suspected terrorists walk through our wide-open southern border, and disgracefully retreating from Afghanistan." Meanwhile, President Trump and Elon Musk have an interview with Sean Hannity that will air. I'm sure he'll have portions on the radio later today, and then it'll air on TV Tuesday night. But they responded to the fact that the left is trying to divide them.
They have many different things of hatred. Actually, Elon called me. He said, "You know, they're trying to drive us apart." I said, "Absolutely." No, they said, "We have breaking news. Donald Trump has ceded control of the presidency to Elon Musk. President Musk will be attending a cabinet meeting tonight at 8 o'clock. And I say, it's just so obvious. They're so bad at it. I used to think they were good at it. They're actually bad at it. Because if they were good at it, I'd never be president. Because I think nobody in history has ever gotten more bad publicity than me."
Anyway, great back and forth. Go to x.com/AaronFlint. You can see that and much more. We got a great guest talking about St. Mary Irrigation right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution to the wind in avoiding what they judged to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aim. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.